I'd like to have a Baptist church tonight. I hope you've had a good day in the Lord. I hope that you've had time to spend time with the Lord. Reading over in Revelation where John said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Why have you been in the Spirit today? Well, oh, Pastor, that's on Sunday. That's the Lord's day. Well, tell me which day ain't the Lord's. I wonder if you've been in the Spirit today. Good to have you here. Good to have visitors with us. If you are in want or desire for the wood, any of the wood floor out of the small building, make plans. We're getting close to the end of the year, and we'll be taking those buildings down here a couple of months or so. So what I'm talking about is what we did back here. So if you want any of it, it's over there. Just come and see me. We got a crowbar and a hammer. You just have to have a strong back and some good hands. So if you want it, there's a couple of them have asked and been wanting to get at it. So don't forget, it won't be long. Time is ticking. It's October, middle of October almost. 2019 is just about gone. Just about gone. Yeah, let's go ahead and do it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. I've had this question a lot this year. Pastor, I want to be obedient to God. I want to know God's will. And I want to be, but I just don't know God's will. Well, we've had the Bible preserved for a long, long, long time now. There's a whole bunch of God's will just written for us that we can ferret out the Word of God. Matthew 6:33, the Bible says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." That would seem to be the will of God. Seeking first the kingdom of God. I wonder if that's where you at? I mean, if you're looking for the will of God, I think what I'm hearing when I talk to people is this. They want some mysterious thing that only they have. It's just, you know, it's something for them. Just them alone. You were saved alone. You weren't saved because your mom and daddy. You were saved because you put faith and trust in Christ. Just you and God dealt with that. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, paid it. That's something special. That's just you. You're not saved because you're a member of Lock Haven. You're not saved because you were born in Central Florida. You're not saved because you were, you know, born, you know, a white man, a black man, a Chinese, a Spanish. You're saved because you alone come to a realization by the revelation of the Word of God that all have sinned come short of the glory of God. And you by yourself stood before God, and God accepted you for who you are when you was yet a sinner. Christ died for you. I don't know how much more that should make you feel real special, dear friend. That the God of the universe would pause in your desperate need hour and talk with you one-on-one. You know, there's some busy folks in the world. I told you one time I read somewhere that Bill Gates said if he stopped for a $100 bill, bent over it, he lost money. He's too busy to stop for a $100 bill. I'm still stopping for pennies. I guess I'm just lazy. I don't know if I'm still. I just look at it like this. One penny added to two pennies is 97 cents closer to a dollar. And 97 more cents, I have a dollar. Doesn't take long to bend down to pick it up, but what I'm saying is he's such a busy man, for him to stop long enough to pick up a $100 bill, he says he's lost money. I tell you, God's a whole lot busier than that. I mean, for over 6,000 years now, the stars have been coming up, sun's been coming up, moon's been coming up, rain, seasons. I know we don't have many around here, but, you know, fall, winter, spring, summer. There's places that have all four of them. We're just blessed enough in one whole day we can have all four. That's how you look at it. I've been reading that book, and it's talking about a paradigm. You know, how you might look at something, Sister Sue, and I might look at it. You might see a handsome young man. I might see an old, scruggy old goat. Because we look at it different. We see things different. God sees one way. You're either saved or you're not. You're either part of his family or not. He don't look at you and say, wow, look at what you have and the things that you have gained. And you are far better, greater, useful for my kingdom than this one who has very little. Wow, look at the education that you have obtained. Paul said, counting all this is done, but that I gain Christ. So, don't get hung up on this here. I'll be obedient if I just know the will of God. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What's the reason? Why should I want to? And, you know, what's the difference of obedience and sacrifice? And, you know, where's the source? What's the results? These are legitimate questions, you know. They really are. Flip over to Psalms 37 real quick. Psalms 37. It's a wonderful chapter here. If you ever want a chapter in Psalms that you just want to quite regularly frequent, this would be one of them. Psalms 37. Look, here's some areas of the will of God for you. First, we saw, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Here's some more areas. Verse 3, 37, Psalms 37, 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. This is the will of God for you. Verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. I mean, we delight in a whole bunch of areas. But he says here, delight thyself also in the Lord. That's the will of God for you, right? What we're looking at. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust in him and he shall bring it to pass. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Trust in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Verse 7, rest in the Lord. This is the will of God for us. It's just not something mysterious and mystical. What was that word?
Mystical.
That is the devil getting us chasing down rabbit trails that we don't need to belong, dear friend. And you and I, if we can't find it, see it, or feel it, or touch it, because it's something out there that, you know, it's got to be the will of God for me, we get discouraged and quit. Every last one of us can do six things. We can seek kingdom of God first. I mean, just putting God first. We can commit ourselves. We can trust in the Lord. This is the will of God for us. We can certainly rest in Him. 1 Samuel chapter 12. Well, I really don't have any reason to trust and obey and know the will of God and be in the will of God. Well, here's a reason for you. 1 Samuel chapter 12. Verse 24. You're looking for a reason why you should seek the kingdom of God first and trust in the Lord, rest in the Lord, and commit thy way unto the Lord. Here's a good reason right here, verse 24 of 1 Samuel chapter 12. The Bible says, only fear the Lord. Well, there's something that's in the will of God that we fear Him. And serve Him in truth with all your heart. And this is the reason why. For consider how great things He hath done for you. You want a reason why you should be obedient to the Word of God? I don't know any other reason you need, dear friend, than just pause for a moment and consider what great things He hath done for you. In our Sunday school class, in the college and career class, we're going through the book of quarterly. It's on Dream On. And it's using out of the book of Haggai. Haggai's got two chapters. But in chapter 1, verse 5 and verse 7, twice God says this to the nation of Israel, consider your ways. You want to know, he said to the nation of Israel, you want to know why you're not enjoying my blessings? You want to know why it seems as you're putting your money in a bag with holes? That's what he says in there. And he says to them twice, consider your ways. You're letting my house lay in waste while you chase your dreams. You want to know why the blessing's not there? You want to know a reason why you need to be obedient to God? Just consider what He's done for you. Consider. I challenge all of y'all. Matter of fact, I didn't realize how rich Haggai was until this quarter. I've read through it. Two chapters ran through there and you know, saw, but this quarter studying with the college career, I challenge y'all to just go and study that out. Now, you're not going to be able to stay in Haggai. You've got to go pick up in Ezra and Nehemiah, their cohorts and counterparts, and a little bit over in Psalms. Got so bad there in the nation, I might just preach that sermon right now and leave this for next week. It got so bad in the nation of Israel's bondage that by their own doing, they were carried off captive to Babylon. It got so bad, they said this to God, God, we can't even sing the song of Zion because of our bondage. You're in bondage because your own self. You did it to yourself, God says to them. But when God brought again their captivity, He freed them up. You know, it was a miracle that He moved upon that king and told that king they released these guys. He wasn't like he was running down to the temple of God. Matter of fact, the temple of God laid in ruins, shambles. He wasn't looking for no priest of God to read him some scrolls. It was God moved upon him. He released them and they went back. Was supposed to build the temple. They got there and built the altar, Brother Jim. Worship a little bit. That's why we want to live today. We want to worship a little bit. Then they realized something. Man, it'd be much easier for me to go ahead and build my house and build this wall. And 12, 15 years later, the house of God still lay in ruins. God said to them in Haggai, consider your ways. You want to know why you're not having the blessings of God upon you? The house of God lies in waste. In other words, the house of God is not important. Christ died, gave Himself for the church. Do you want to know how important the house of God is? Go study how God would not let King David even build the house. But think about and read about and consider all that King David gathered up for the house of God. And when he built that temple, they come up out of them rags and built the temple of God. It was a beautiful sight. Beautiful sight. Do you want a reason to be obedient to the Word of God? Just consider all that he's done for you, dear friend. I think too often we're so farsighted. Well, God's going to come back and it's way out yonder. Oh, no, dear friend. God is here. He said, I will go away, Jesus. The Comforter shall come, and he lives within us. I don't understand what we are thinking nowadays. I think we're a little scared that we might be, considered a little bit holiness Pentecostal or something. If we own up to the fact that the Holy Ghost is here. I didn't say it. God said it. Well, I'm looking for the day the Lord comes. The Lord lives within us, dear friend, if you're saved. He's here. I'm just saying. The God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, these three are one, and they're not a little bit less than the other. Well, John said in the Spirit of the Lord's day. Flip over to 1 Samuel. This is how much God wants us to be obedient to his will. If he wants us to be obedient to it, it ain't going to be something mysterious that we cannot figure out. It's something that we can understand and know because God wants to, at that appointed time, say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you don't know which way you're supposed to be going, up, down, left, right, so that north, south, east, west, how would you ever be able to be looking forward to that statement from God, well done, thou good and faithful servant? You have to know where you're going. You have to know to get from point A to point B, to get here to get there. It's like when those cops pull you over and gives you that sobriety test. He wants you to go here, 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 in a straight line. He don't want you going over this way. He tells you go A to B. So you will know where you're headed. So the will of God has got to be something that we can understand and know and perceive and intellectually and logically make out. Well, I just can't do it. Maybe it's because we're not walking in the Spirit, because this is a spiritual book. If you want to understand it, you have to be in the Spirit. It's spiritually understood and discerned and received and taught. It's the whole job of the Holy Ghost of God to teach and guide us into truth. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. And Samuel said, First Samuel 15, 22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings? We know he wanted the burnt offerings. He asked for them. He put them into the law. We know that was part of it, but this is the whole point. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity of idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He hath also rejected thee from being king. I don't know about you, dear friend, if you don't understand this, this talking about King Saul, but in application, you and I are kings, prince, priesthood. And if God would reject Saul because he did not obey the voice of the Lord, this whole thing was he was sent there to take care of God's business. When he got there, he said, "Wow, look at those ewe lambs. Look at those sheep. Look at those goats. Look at those cows. Ooh, look at there." When Samuel walked up, he heard, "Wah, wah," when he should have been hearing death. Saul, what in the world's going on? Well, the people wanted to sacrifice. In other words, the people wanted to use that which was fallow and broken and not theirs to sacrifice rather than to sacrifice what was theirs. What was the law of sacrifice? If you had a lamb, it had to be yours. You had to watch it 14 days. It had to be spotless. It had to have care. It had to look at it. Always cutting that short. Going here, going there. Listen, wow, surely God would be blessed in this. Oh, yeah. You sacrifice once a year, maybe twice a year. The rest of it's going into your purse. God's not good. Listen, we can't hoodwink God with all this, dear friend. We cannot. Psalms 119. Book of Psalms, chapter 119. Psalms, chapter 119, verse number 60. Look at what the psalmist said. Verse 60. Psalm 119, verse 60. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Why halt you between two opinions? Why are we like it in Joshua's day when Joshua looked out there over the nation of Israel and said, I don't know about you, whether you're going to serve the gods of our fathers of before the sea, those pagan gods and those wicked gods, those little g gods. But for me and my house, we are going to serve God. Why are we delayed on this? With haste. Listen, time is at hand. The verse back on the scripture there that my wife found, Brother Josh put on the board back there. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Why are we halted on this, dear friend? We've got to make a choice. We're going to be obedient. We know it's better. We read 1 Samuel 15:22. It's better to be obedient than sacrifice. That reminds me of the second church in Revelation. I've been thinking about preaching on that here on Sunday morning, Sunday night. So I don't know, but the seven churches in Revelation. Look over there real quick. When God says it's better to be obedient than to sacrifice. Revelation chapter 2. Verse 2. Talking about the church at Ephesus. Talk about being obedient. It's better to be obedient than to sacrifice. Here we go. I know thy works. This is the Lord talking to the church at Ephesus. And thy labor. The Lord knows. He knows thy works. He says, I know your labor and thy patience. And how canst thou not bear them which are evil? And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Verse 3, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake that hast labored and hast not fainted. The sacrifices and knowing that, and knowing to do right, knowing to do good, knowing to have the King James Bible, knowing to have hymns, and knowing to have a traditional style, godly oriented musical program. We know. God knows. He knows our labor. He knows our work. He knows that, hey, we've tried them and they're false prophets and we're not going to pay attention to that. We know that. We're not going to bear evil. Canst not bear them which are evil. We know that abortion is against God and it's ungodly and fornication and whoremongering. We know all that. This is what God's telling the church of Ephesus, church, and I'm telling you, we know that. Nevertheless, he told the church at Ephesus, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first work. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Do the first works. Or else, I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. God would have to apologize to the church at Ephesus if he didn't take this and put it forth into the New Testament era, into the age which we live in. And our church knows, dear friend, what it's like to have the candlestick moved. 11 years, no pastor. That's the candlestick. Study it out. 11 years. You think God's not in the business of doing His way? He understands our labor, our love. He knows that which is good. Nevertheless, He has somewhat against us. Pastor, what's the result of seeking the kingdom of God first, of being obedient? What's the results? We got the reason why. God's been good to us. I think we all can rear up our hands and say God's been good to us. Amen. For that reason alone, we should be obedient. But like we need other reasons, God gives us plenty. If we're not obedient, He will do what He said to the church at Ephesus. He will. The results of seeking first the kingdom of God and putting God first, what does He say? Matthew 6:33. And all these things shall be added unto you. Church, we better be like listening to God. When God says, consider your ways, to Haggai, to the nation of Israel, we better consider our ways. Because I'm telling you, I'm seeing a whole lot of God not being first in our congregation. I'm seeing a whole lot of not being first, God not being first. Father, we love you. We thank you for who you are. We ask you, God, to help us to understand who we are, and we're not God. We are your children. We are your lambs. We are your sheep. And you said, my sheep hear my voice and will follow. God, help our church. I don't know when's the last time some of us could stand up and say we were in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. God, you are jealous, God. You want preeminence in our personal life, in our church life, in our Sunday school life, in our Bible club life, in our work life. You want first place. God, help us to repent. So we have left our first love. We're chasing after this, that, and another. And if we get around to you, God, we'll get around to you. Thank you for never leaving us or forsaking us. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed, church.
Done.